We're certainly glad that you are here this morning. I know that we have a number of visitors, and we're thankful for your presence. We hope that you will stay and have lunch with us. I think you will enjoy it, and we certainly will enjoy getting to know you better. I'm going to begin the lesson today with a reading from F.B. Meyer. I think is very important for us today. There are days in all lives which come unannounced, unheralded. No angel faces look out of heaven. No angel voices put us on our guard. But as we look back on them in after years, we realize that they were the turning points of existence. Perhaps we look longingly back on the uneventful routine of the life that lies beyond them. But the angel with drawn sword forbids our return and compels us forward. And it was so with Moses. Then all suddenly, a common bush began to shine with the emblem of deity. And from its heart of fire, the voice of God broke the silence of the ages in words that fell on the shepherd's ear like a double knock. Moses, Moses. And from that moment, all his life was altered. The door, which had been so long in repairing, was suddenly put on its hinges again and opened. I'll be reading from Acts, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 20 through verse 25. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Notice that passage again. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. You know, it's great when you're on top of the world. The day when Moses saw the angel of God in the burning bush began as an ordinary day. For 40 years, Moses was a shepherd for his father-in-law's flock. When he led the sheep to pasture on that fateful day, he certainly did not anticipate that he would be confronted and challenged by Jehovah God. As you know, Moses had not always been a shepherd. In fact, he was forced to make an unexpected career change when he was nearly 40 years old. His first 40-year span was extremely impressive. He was adopted by the Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in elegance while living in the ruler's palace. He received the very best education that was available. And it certainly appears that he was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. I find it very intriguing to note that Moses was regarded, as I pointed out to you earlier, as an eloquent speaker and an accomplished leader. Is this the same man who demanded that God provide him with a spokesman who would talk to the Pharaoh on his behalf some 40 years later? He certainly depended on his brother Aaron to be his spokesman. Moses was a young man who had it all together, at least for a while. And it is tough when you suddenly fall from the top to the bottom. One day, that rich and powerful young man who was groomed to be an Egyptian ruler longed to rediscover his Israelite roots. He was enraged when he witnessed an Egyptian guard beating an Israelite slave. Such beatings occurred probably every day. But Moses had been completely isolated and protected from the sights and the sounds of such injustices. From what is written in Acts chapter 7, verse 25, it certainly seems that God appeared to Moses to inform him of his role as Israel's deliverer. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 24 through verse 27, this appears to substantiate that particular belief. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He knew that it was the will of God that he do what God wanted him to do. Now, he did kill that Egyptian guard, seemingly unnecessarily, and suddenly, his secure world fell to pieces. Everything for which he had prepared went down the tubes. And overnight, Moses went from Pharaoh to fugitive. Instead of living in a royal palace, he became a shepherd who slept in the wide open pastures. People no longer bowed down to praise him. And every day for 40 years, all he heard was the bleating of smelly sheep. Moses had plenty of time to think about what he had done and to wonder if he would be leading sheep for the rest of his life. But God can cause an ordinary day to become extraordinary. 40 years was a long time for Moses to wait for a response from God. But God doesn't rush his masterpieces. Abraham waited many years before he received his son of promise. In fact, 25 years. And I wonder, would we be as patient? Are we willing to wait on God to answer our prayers, to respond to our needs? Abraham never did visually observe the realization of the land of Canaan that God promised him. He never set foot there, but he knew by faith that God would keep his promise. We are an impatient people, very impatient many times. We demand immediate results. And sometimes we even demand that of God. When we do demand immediate results, we usually find ourselves in the very same predicament as Moses did. Here was a man who had been in line to be a ruler and became a fugitive. Hasty decisions can create disastrous results. I can't help but believe that Moses used his 40 years of shepherding wisely. God tempered Moses. He taught him the importance of patience by dealing with sheep. And I'm sure that Moses communed with God on a regular basis. He must have even drawn ever closer to God as he slept under the stars and inhaled the freshness of nature, or inhaled something. In the hot, sandy desert, Moses probably saw many other scraggly bushes spontaneously burst into flames. But on that special day, the burning bush was not being consumed by fire. And suddenly, out of the midst of the bush, a voice emerged. A voice that Moses had not heard for 40 years. It was an impressionable and unforgettable voice. I've often wondered, what must the voice of God sound like? I can't help but think that it's a booming voice, a bass voice, a strong voice. But certainly it was the voice of God. It was the voice of the chief shepherd of Israel. It was the voice of the ultimate deliverer, the transformer of lives. And at the age of 80, Moses' life was about to change dramatically once again. It was time for another career change. Moses' apprenticeship in the fields was completed. And he would exchange his father-in-law's flock for the sheep of God. Moses' guilt and shame were overshadowed by the intervening mercy of God. Now, what does all this mean to you and to me? Some of you may be at major crossroads in your lives. Some of you may even be facing a career change. Some may be uncertain about retiring after many years of hard work. And some of you have moved to Holly Lake in your advanced years. Some of you may be contemplating moving to another town to take another job, or to be closer to your children. Some of you are facing health problems, financial problems, family problems, or emotional problems. Problems that you didn't want to encounter, but you're forced to encounter. And there are some of you who are likely struggling with where you are presently, because of decisions that you've made previously in your life. And you're wondering, even as Moses did, is God going to ever let you out of the sheep pasture? While you understand that you could be reaping what you've sown in the past, You also wonder if this is as good as it's going to get. How long must you pay for the mistakes of the past? But I encourage you, be patient. Don't conclude that God's present silence means He has given up on you. God loves you. And God is actively directing your life even when you may not recognize it. And someday, suddenly and unexpectedly, He may confront you and challenge you to serve Him in ways you never thought could be possible. Let the quieter and calmer times of your life prepare you to follow Him without reservation when He creates a new and exciting course for you. If you are on top of the world looking down, you need to remember to thank God for all that He has done for you. Don't assume that you've done it for yourself, but remember that God is the one who has allowed you to have the health, the smarts, the timing to be where you are today. But if you're on the bottom, looking up, you are looking in the right direction. Look to God, the God who loves you, the God who is merciful, the God who cares about your problems. But up or down, remember God and follow His direction. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it is to become a Christian by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, whether it is to be a part of this congregation, placing membership, or asking the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we hope that you'll come while we stand and sing.